pop out of bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't tell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trade? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to issue 29.
Almost 30.
Almost 30.
I'm 29. I'm almost 30.
Issue almost 29. Almost 30. That's going to be the title of this week's episode. Yeah, yeah.
Almost 30. I'm going to write that.
Almost 30. But, welcome to God Hates Comics.
That's what I was going for. It took you that long to fucking get that?
Yeah.
God damn it all.
What
are we
talking about?
I don't even know anymore.
God, whatever.
What? Something?
Naturally, if you guys want to talk to us about anything, don't forget to email us at godhatescomics@gmail.com. But last week was pretty crazy.
Whoa. I'm Vincent.
Oh, I'm Andrew, as always.
And for now, I'm Dusty. All
right, let's go.
Okay.
Last week.
But no, last week was pretty crazy as far as controversy went. There was a lot of hubbub over most of it. Deserved. I'm not trying to dismiss it or anything. Between the Chris Sims, Valerie D'Orazio stuff, which split fandom. The Batgirl stuff, that split fandom. The Eric Larson comments, that split fandom. There was just a whole lot of infighting, really, between people all upset about people being upset. And then me being upset at the people being upset.
A good controversy where everyone's mad at the same person.
It's Scott Lobdell is what you're looking for that. But no, so it was...
What did he do?
I don't know, he's terrible.
Oh, okay.
He didn't actually have to do anything.
Just terrible,
Have you read those fucking comics? I mean, why aren't we mad at this fucking guy?
So, what you meant to say was Rob Liefeld. Is what you meant to say.
No,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
He's kind of a dick.
He's a nice guy, but I'm like, actually, Scott Lobdell's actually a pretty nice guy, too.
Yeah. It's just one of them can't write, the other one can't draw feet.
One of them can't draw more than feet.
Neither of them can write, neither of them can draw feet.
Oh, man. How
about that?
Either way.
You gotta respect a man that fetishizes pouches, though. Like, that's awesome.
It always gets me. Somebody will describe Jim Lee, and they'll be like, oh, all the pouches, here they come. And I'm just like, it's fucking Liefeld who draws the pouches.
Right.
Jim Lee draws unnecessary seams. Get it fucking right.
Oh, don't belts. Remember Cyclops' costume? That motherfucker had belts everywhere. It's like, why do you even have webbing on your arm? You don't have guns. It's like, what is this?
But anyway, so you will be happy to know, for the most part, there's, as far as I can tell, no new major erupting controversies from all the stuff that's happened.
We're not that angry this week.
Not as much. Comics Alliance did release their statement on the Chris Sims debacle. I didn't really buy it.
Yeah.
I bought Sims a lot. But Sims put his own explanation up on Comics Alliance, which I thought was a little more heartfelt.
The Comics Alliance one felt like there was stuff like we didn't know about that was going on.
Comics Alliance was just very... They weren't really making that information clear. And they were very quickly trying to frame Sims as the victim.
Well,
he was a victim in that... It got brought up again.
The issue is where people are saying it got brought up again by. Yeah,
exactly, because Comics Alliance made it seem
like he was being targeted.
And not that it wasn't Valerie D'Orazio that was coming out and saying it. It's that somebody else was coming out and saying and going,
or they were threatening to come out and say it.
Yeah, exactly.
But then D'Orazio came out and said it all. So that's where the disconnect is for me.
Yeah, it's,
because
like,
all of this came
somebody,
out.
It was.
All of this came out because of what D'Orazio said. But Comics Alliance and their editor were very quick to be like, they threatened to do this. You can't pretend that didn't happen. And I'm like, but they didn't. Don't get me wrong. Threats are bad, but this is coming from D'Orazio.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be like, he's the target of a conspiracy when it's the victim herself that's speaking up about this.
Yeah.
So that's where the disconnect was for me. It was basically Comics Alliance saying, he's been targeted. But then I was like, by who? His harasser? Because that's not what being targeted means.
That just means he was called out.
Yeah. And the one question that everybody did ask, and I kind of questioned that if the circumstances were any different, people would have been criticized for bringing this up. But Comics Alliance is very quick to be like, look at what's happening. look at the timing. They'd be like, they're bringing this up just as he's about to start a gig at Marvel. And I was like,
in all honesty, yeah, they were, because of the situation, because of what he did, because of her work at Marvel. So she was like, was really funny. Marvel? You knew that this happened?
And you're just letting it go. Yeah. So.
To be honest, I'm not 100%. I don't know how I feel about the Marvel called him and called her D'Orazio and said, oh, hey, probably going to get you for this book.
No, I can see that. I mean, they'll tell you to keep, you know.
I wouldn't doubt it, but honestly, the end of the day,
not a negative thing, because I don't really see the what I'm getting at is that some people were just calling Marvel or calling out Marvel for throwing D'Orazio under the bus, and I don't really think they were doing that. They were probably just saying like, "Hey, just be aware."
But it's a little disheartening to see a company instead of being like, "If anything happens, let us know," and instead being like, "You're gonna get shit for this. Better go hide."
Yeah,
like it's not a vote of confidence from the company. It's a vote of, well, this is going to happen. You better deal with it. And that's not exactly a ringing show of support, which I think was the criticism there.
The thing is, I guess being in any industry, that's probably a little.
But again, like
I know what you're saying, but I don't think.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think Marvel's reaction to it is really the issue, though. Yeah. You know, I mean that. It happened.
It's still disheartening from a stance of, again, they're not sticking by the talent. They're just kind of being like, oh, well, you better get ready because shit's coming.
Yeah.
Like,
well, see, I think it's just how you're reading it, because I read it more as like, oh, you know, shit's coming. You might want to like just take it easy for a bit instead of.
But that's not different.
It's still a
company. The inflection doesn't matter, is my point. Because
no, it's true.
You're still
right.
Coming and saying. You're not saying we're whatever happens, let us know, we're gonna try to help. It's better get ready.
But I think it's more of just a warning. Because I mean it's the fucking internet that they're talking about. It's like, hey,
maybe not even a warning, like, more of like a heads up, like,
yeah, like we got reviews back and the reviews weren't good. Sorry, get ready for some bad reviews. So it could be just more of a. I mean, we don't know. We were, you know, it's like, I don't know. We don't have the story.
The other thing to remember is that this is 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And both companies have made major strides forward. And Marvel did say with Chris Sims they were unaware of this, but they're not going to do. Everybody is saying Chris Sims is not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
That's
where I have mixed feelings, because it's like, I do believe in forgiveness. You should be able to. I mean, people fuck up. People are human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to be ignorant at some point in our fucking life, and we're going to do really stupid, sometimes often very hurtful things. And we have to be able to forgive people, because, I mean, fuck, where else would we be if we couldn't?
Exactly.
You know? But at the same time, it's kind of like, all right, man, like, it still doesn't change what you did. Like,
yeah, no, it doesn't change
what
you did. Well,
my issue mostly was I didn't like the tone of the Comics Alliance statement, simply because it was very much feel bad for Chris Sims.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't like that.
Completely agree with that.
Now, I've had people tell me that that's not the impression they got,
I felt it was a little more corporate. Like, it felt like the Comics Alliance editors, but it still feels
kind of what
it feels like.
Me.
Yeah, it, yeah. I mean, they're a big company, maybe not big, but they're a company, they're a presence that has to. Have feelings
well
about
the problem
this,
is they couldn't
they really
not
can't.
Say anything
yeah.
either they couldn't
yeah.
they couldn't just let it go. They had to say something,
yeah.
And it was pretty much what I expected. It was the standard kind of, he's not the same, he's different, we don't condone these actions, blah blah blah. And then Sims came out and did, like I said, admittedly make it seem like he was genuinely his statement was much better, I think, than Comics Alliance's. But either way,
which I think he is, I mean, like, he even came out and said it, that I mean, like, except for the, like, apart from the fact where he was like, oh, I didn't feel like I should apologize, like, that was kind of...
That was actually something I got into an interesting conversation with somebody about, was that whole, is that a viable thing to say? The whole, I was terrible to somebody, didn't realize it, and then I did, but then didn't say anything to them because essentially I didn't want to make it worse.
I mean, it's...
And I get it. Especially when you're looking at the person and she's saying, I have PTSD because you... Because you did this to me.
Well, I'm assuming this is before he knew that.
True.
I'm assuming
so. But it's like, you don't want to trigger the bad feeling.
Well, even then, like, you know, it's you want to put it down. She's made it clear she's not playing the game anymore. And, it's, you know, what do you do? And
well, I mean, I've had friends where shit kind of goes south, and then you don't immediately say, "Oh, hey, I'm sorry." Like, especially if it was something like major. And I'm not saying calling them friends, but if
well, it's interesting too because like I have other friends that were like seeing this stuff in real time, the stuff between the two of them.
Yeah.
And they thought it was a joke. They thought it was just a big inside kind of ribbing thing. They didn't, and that's probably what happened. Is Chris Sims didn't realize the severity of what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then by the time he did, his and that was kind of the break. It's do you put out the olive branch? And that was another criticism he got, is that he put out a whole bunch of statements but didn't apologize to D'Orazio until the Comics Alliance won. Excuse me. Basically, he sent the email to her husband, which was more apologizing to him for everything. And then he put out his own statement, which was apologizing for his... It wasn't really an apology. It was him kind of saying, "I know it was wrong, and I'm not that guy anymore." And then finally, in the Comics Alliance, when he said to Mrs. D'Orazio, "I'm sorry," it's like it came off as ingenuine or ungenuine, non-genuine, whatever.
Probably ingenuine.
Ingenuine because he wasn't just being like, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
And then he also kind of, and he explained, you know, at the time, you know, that was when comics journalism, quote unquote, was really kind of becoming a thing and really taking off, and...
May I just say that it is all about ethics and comic journalism.
It is all about ethics and comics journalism, but he was basically saying that that was a time when there were, you know, dozens and dozens of morons all out on the internet trying to create a voice for themselves in the comics world.
Yeah.
Because it's a niche hobby. It's not something that you kind of just ascend into, or it's not like anything else where there's a wider field, but... So he openly kind of admitted that the way he stood out was kind of by being an asshole.
Yeah.
That was kind of his shtick. It was, you know, Chris Sims, the comics journalist asshole. And I was like, what a strange combination of things. But, so, you know, I'm going to be a bully about comics, even though comics are a total nerd thing. And so he openly admitted that, you know, he was pretty much a jerk, and he was a jerk on purpose. And most of the time, he knew he was being a jerk. But that was how he kind of justified it in as, like, that's what you had to do to separate yourself from everybody else. You had to have a personality. Which is not only true in comics, that's true in almost anything.
Yeah.
When it's especially a writing kind of profession, you have to build your own voice.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, honestly, I don't remember how I found Chris Sims, but I remember liking enough of what I saw to stick around.
I remember not liking him at first because I was reading Comics Alliance, and pretty much every article where I was like, man, this guy's full of shit, it was Chris Sims. And, and then over time, I kind of was like, it was kind of that split 50-50, where like half the time I'd be like, yeah, I'm with you there. And the other half, I was like, you're an idiot.
I mean, I was with him before he had the ISB.
Yeah.
So
that's way back.
Still never read.
Still, I mean, anything. Like, fucking 10 years ago or something.
I found him through Comics Alliance, though. Yeah. But so it just kind of became this big hubbub, and we just managed to talk about it for 10 minutes. yeah.
Right.
Well, it was kind of this different side of it, the kind of the aftermath of it. And... Yeah. He has been completely silent on Twitter for the most part since the statements came out.
Yeah.
I don't think he's posted anything. Comics Alliance has resumed regular activity. D'Orazio didn't really buy it. She didn't buy the conspiracy aspect of it. She was like... Because what Comics Alliance is making it seem like is that basically D'Orazio's husband told Sims and Comics Alliance that somebody's targeting Sims for what he did to D'Orazio. Be prepared. And so Comics Alliance is spinning that as conspiracy. Well, D'Orazio was like, but I said it first, so nobody... There was no conspiracy. She's like, all this comment came out of what I said, not what some mis... And so it became this disconnect in the narrative that I think confused a lot of people. And like I said, everybody's apologized. I don't know if D'Orazio's accepted it. Sims is definitely taking a hit over this. I know the Mary Sue... was calling for his fucking head. I know our good friend Alva was calling for his fucking head. And other people were disappointed. Other people were kind of, you know, it was 5 years ago. He's clearly grown and moved on. It was a whole lot of very mixed reactions.
Forgive but don't forget.
In a way, kind of, you know, I've got my eyes on you sort of thing, where like, it was 5 years ago, and you know, you look at any one of us, even in our late 20s, early 30s, even 5 years ago, we were different people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's tough to say that you know, in five. It's like you said, it's wrong to say that somebody can't change in 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to say that. So, wrapping that up now at the 15-minute mark. What have I been up to since last week? We'll jump into that. what did I do? I did a 5K over this weekend. In the rain. It hurt. And then... Shut up.
One of those, like, paint one, was it?
What?
Where they throw the paint and, like...
No, I've done one of those before, though. Those were actually really fun. And they're at night, so I don't get burned. That's why I do them.
Nice.
I'm doing a foam run in May because it's the same thing. It's at night. it's in the fucking NRG parking lot. They just put out cones and shit. It's a 5K. So, but after that, I read a bunch of comics. I read. I'm current with Justice League. End of Amazo Virus.
Nice.
Amazo Virus was really fucking good.
Did Batman die?
No.
Of course not.
God
damn. Why would you think he'd die? He does get exposed. But the thing that doesn't get said in all the stories is that the entire Justice League is exposed, except Superman and Wonder Woman. Everyone gets exposed. That was the thing. Everybody was focusing on Batman getting exposed, and everyone was like, what does this mean? But it's like, for the entire storyline is Luthor, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Like, essentially. Like, everybody else is infected. And Captain Cold. Captain Cold's not either. So it was funny when everyone's like, what's going to happen to Batman? I'm like, what's going to happen to Flash and Aquaman and Cyborg and this guy?
Shazam?
But it turns out that the Amazo virus is Luthor's fault. He created it as kind of a way to suppress superhuman powers so that they could be dealt with by mere mortals.
Fucking Ultron.
But it's a virus. It's an actual, like, disease. And so what happens is that Patient Zero gets infected and the virus mutates in his body to becoming lethal to everybody. Because it should have no effect on regular people. But regular people are now developing abilities and then dying. So... they believe that Patient Zero is what they have to find and it doesn't work, so they end up having to use Superman's blood. Because Superman's been exposed and his cells have rejected it. So...
Yeah.
Basically, they have to use Superman to cure it. But then Patient Zero doesn't die. He basically mutates and becomes the new version of Amazo. So now we've got a new Amazo going forward. And I think we're going to get another issue of Justice League before Darkseid War. I don't know. Or maybe there's a tease for Darkseid War throughout.
Pensive, you're like...
I can't remember if there was or not. I'm not sure if 40 or 41 is the cutoff for Convergence. I think it's 39,
actually. 40. I think
everything comes back to 40.
Yeah,
with 41. So I guess there's got to be a 40. No, there can't be. It ends at 39. It comes back with 40.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know either.
No, because 41 is the what's his name?
Gene Long Yang?
Gene Long Yang, yes.
Well, what's Superman 40? I don't know. I did read Superman 39, which was actually a very nice contrast to the shitstorm that was comics news last week, because it was actually... Because they introduced Superman's new power, the Super Flare, where he goes J.J. Abrams. But the thing is it depletes all the solar energy in his body, so he has to recharge. So for about 24 hours or so, he's got no powers. And so... it's just kind of a day in the life of Superman where he just kind of talks about it. And he has a day with Jimmy Olsen where he talks about being Superman and what it means to him and being a part of the human race and all that. And then they're at the Daily Planet and they get news that there's a mugger that's taken somebody hostage somewhere. So Clark's like, well, I gotta go. And Jimmy's like, but you can't. Like, you're not super. Why are you gonna go? And Clark Kent's just like, well, I don't have a choice. Somebody's in danger. I can't pick and choose. And so he puts on the suit and everything, and he goes down there with no powers. Granted, the other guy doesn't know that. Yeah. I mean, but Superman basically does that whole, he's like, I'm Superman, you know that's not going to do anything. And he was like, if you put this gun down now, you can walk away from this. And you can do your time, and you can be better, and you can become something better, but you have to make the choice now to do that. And so Superman... talks this hostage situation out with no powers in the face of a gun that he knows could kill him, because he has several earlier instances in the book where he, like, nicks his finger scrapes his elbow or something, kind of, you know, emphasizing the mortality aspect of it, and just kind of is like, it doesn't have to be this way. And so,
you just see Superman walking around saying, how can I not die? What do I have to do to not die?
I don't know.
I find that funny.
But then at the end of the book, Jimmy and Superman are kind of chilling. He gets his powers back towards the end of the issue, and they're kind of chilling out at the end, and Jimmy was like, so what was it like being human for a day? And Superman just kind of goes, it really wasn't that different. And, you know, that can kind of be taken two ways. Even as a human, he still feels like Superman.
Yeah.
And still feels that he needs to do good. Or it could be taken as, even when he's not Superman, he still feels like
a human.
He can do good and things like that. It kind of works both ways. And so kind of in the face of last week's massive Venom, it was kind of nice to see something where it was like, shit's not going to be bad all the time, and it doesn't have to be bad. And kind of is additionally kind of a call to arms where it's like, you don't have to sit by. And so it was nice.
Cool.
Reassuring. I also got caught up on Multiversity, which is
very cool. Trippy
and fucking insane.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about Multiversity a little bit later during my picks of the week, because the big trigger book for that series, kind of the one that has all the bad information supposedly, is the book coming out this week. Basically, throughout Multiversity, they are talking about the comic that tells they basically tell about this evil that only exists if you read about it. You know, this kind of interesting idea of the villain only exists if people read about him, sort of thing. It's a similar idea to kind of Nightmare on Elm Street 7, where Freddy only exists if,
you know,
Freddy's only contained if people remember him. Once he's not remembered, he can break out, sort of thing. Kind of a sort of riff on that, but in a Morrison way.
Well, I kind of feel like it's a take on The Unwritten, where it's just kind of like, would these characters exist? You know?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But all the books have also sort of established as kind of one-shot stories with these characters, and they're all really good. I've enjoyed reading all of them. Masterman was cool because it kind of deals with that kind of Red Sun aspect of Superman's been around for 75 years. He's seen all these people come and die. Like, he's not even sure if he believes in what he's done at this point. He's kind of just apathetic, and he kind of wants out, and it was pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to the new one, too. Ultra Comics by Doug Monkey on art. And what else got caught up? Got caught up on Rumble. Really good book.
Yeah, it is.
Got caught up on Rocket Salvage by our good friend Yehudi Mercado and Bakken, whatever the artist is. Again, really great. And that's a big book on family and stuff. It's really, really good. And also got caught up on another Grant Morrison book, Annihilator. This one's even whacked out more than the Multiversity is.
Fuck yeah, I bet.
Like, I've read all five issues. There's six issues of Annihilator. And basically, you've got this writer.
Well, don't tell me too much. I got the trade coming.
I'll keep it simple. Basically, within the first issue, this is first issue stuff, so it's not really spoiling the story. This guy is trying to write a screenplay. You know, he's a screenwriter. He's written a couple of successful movies.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of writing his next, what's supposed to be this epic thing. And it's about a guy named, I think, Max Nomad, I think his name is. Kind of a space
Max
adventure.
Nomax.
Max Nomad. Oops, yes.
I know the plot.
So at the end of the first issue, the writer finds out he's got a brain tumor, an inoperable brain tumor that's going to kill him really fast. But then at the end of the issue, Max shows up, like, in the flesh, and is like, hey, what's up? And the guy's like, am I tripping balls? And the guy's like, nope. And so, not quite that simple, but throughout the next four issues is basically Max and, I can't remember the fucking screenwriter's name for the goddamn life of me now.
Grant.
No, it's not. This is another mild spoiler, but you can deal with it. This is revealed in, like, issue 2 or 3.
It's halfway through the series. It's not really a spoiler, but it kind of
it's,
is.
It's fucking 3 months old at this point.
On the way. I'm afraid waiting.
That's your problem. I want to talk about the book.
Don't talk about the book.
Jesus Christ.
Don't talk about the book.
You find out more things about this that make it... God damn you, man.
I understand. We'll talk about it once I've read it.
Fuck you, goddamn. Read the goddamn issues for once and you won't let me fucking talk about it, asshole. Mr. I read 9,700 comic books a month, except the one Andrew read. Fuck you.
I'm trying to read on miniseries. He's trying.
Fuck you.
Doing my best here.
Looks so quaint sitting with your arms crossed.
I actually wonder if what Witches is going to be like, if it's going to be like an ongoing, or if they're going to do like an arc and stop, and come back for an arc and stop, or if they're going to switch artists or whatever, because Jock is not monthly. Jock is not even bi-monthly. The six is the first trade, so six is coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I finished Annihilator. Really good. Grant Morrison, Fraser Irving. If you like Grant Morrison, you'll pretty much like this book. There's no reason why you shouldn't. I actually pre-ordered the hardcover. It's a hardcover.
Yeah.
On Amazon when it was solicited as a trade. So I've got it coming for like $12.33.
Nice.
But it's a hardcover for that retails for $25. So, score. But yeah, so Grant Morrison, Fraser Irving, awesome. And then, have I read anything else?
Nah, too long.
I think that's it. I think that is everything. So, fuck you. You read comics all the time.
I know.
You read comics all the time.
I did buy the special edition of Bone Volume 1, too, during the half-price sale last week. So.
Sweet. Who had a half-price sale?
There was a half-price sale. They did the 20-30% 2 days, 40% the next 2 days, and 50% on Sunday.
Who did?
Half-price.
Oh, okay. Half price.
We did the half price sale.
Well, I mean, when you said half price sale, I didn't think of the store.
But no, so I got. That's the only thing I bought during.
They had a half price sale.
that's the only thing I bought during the sale. Actually, like I couldn't find anything else I wanted. They had Avengers versus X-Men hardcover, and I was like, don't care.
Yeah.
So Dusty, now that I've been talking for 10 more minutes, what have you been up to?
Not much, to be quite honest with you. I'm kind of addicted to this Marvel Contest of Champions video game. So. Nice. Been playing that a lot. Actually, not as much as a buddy of mine. I introduced it to him like a week ago, and he's already like way past me. Nice. In the game, like it's like all right.
Well, it's like I heard about this game called Hero Emblems,
mm-hmm.
and like I just kind of play it when I have downtime at work.
Yeah,
and I've had it for like a month, I guess, but I put like 20 hours in that game, so it's like I'm doing a lot of nothing at work.
Right,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't get to do that at work. You know, my work is very technical, so it's like, yeah, constantly working.
Oh, you're talking about the tooth thing, comic book thing.
The comic book thing. I kind of get away with playing games at work, but not really.
What the hell? Your manager gets away with shit all the time.
That's because she gets to sit down in front of the computer.
Nice.
I don't get to do that.
Oh, jerk.
I do, sort of. I really... Never mind.
Doesn't matter.
But other than that, I haven't been doing too much. I started reading the Annihilation omnibus that I'm offering.
You're welcome.
You know?
Thank you for your cash monies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still in my wallet, actually.
Speaking of monies, you know what I really hate? So I'm on Reddit today, and I see someone's asking for the first 3 Brubaker cap omnibuses, right?
Okay.
And I go, hey, I have these. What are you looking to pay for? No answer. No, I've done this like 5 or 6 times where someone's like, I'm looking for this. And I'm like, hey, I have it. No answer.
I really need to start combing that and look for when people are looking for comics. Because the problem is Comic Swap mostly is people clicking to unload stuff. Yeah. So I kind of don't think to look for it for things that people... when people are actually looking for something.
Yeah. Right? But anyway, that's just something that annoys me. So
yeah, that's pretty much my week. How about you?
Well, I've, comics-wise, read a... few things, you know, not as much as you, not as much as probably Andrew, actually. But I read Princess Leia number 2, which is a cool book. I mean, the art's growing on me, and there's a little, I don't even know if it'll be like, it's not really an Easter egg, it's a plot point, but Natalie Portman's in the book, Queen Amidala. But it's like a picture, and Leia notices it for some reason, and it's like that. What the hell just happened? Like it's kind of funny, but it's a cool issue. I finally read the last issue of Charles Soule's She-Hulk.
Okay.
Which it was an all right ending. Like it kind of ended a little flat for me. What I kind of dug was that there's a teaser for Howard the Duck, because like Howard the Duck shows up in like the last couple pages, and is like, hey. I'm here to rent a room in this building, or an office in this building, and this place looks like crap. This place is dirty as hell. awesome. You know, it's like this little joke thing, and it basically starts off the first issue, Howard the Duck, he gets out of jail and goes to his office and has a little thing with She-Hulk. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool to see that She-Hulk might be a regular in the Howard the Duck miniseries. Or ongoing series.
Now,
which,
the Duck comic is goddamn awesome.
Yeah, that I read it at work and was like cracking up. It's one of the few comics that I've actually had me laughing out loud.
Yeah,
it was pretty good read. I also read. I'm caught up on Deathlok, basically because the next issue comes out tomorrow or this week. And I was like, do I want to continue reading this? Well, let's find out. And it's actually pretty cool.
Nice.
The story is basically, like, this version of Deathlok is... He's more of, like, a sleeper agent.
Yeah.
Where he gets activated when whoever needs him. It's still not clear who needs him.
Mm-hmm. I saw it was kind of more of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Deathlok.
Yeah. But, it's kind of like where it's not visible. It's like he kind of he can take off his armor, but like if you were to see an x-ray of him, you'd see all like Deathlok shit on the inside.
Nice.
But anyway, at the end of this issue, he kind of gets, realizes what's going on and like calls him out on it. So it ends on a good cliffhanger, and I will be picking up the next issue.
Cool. I really like Nathan Evanson.
Yeah.
So.
It's really good. Apart from comics, I've been playing a couple of video games. There was this like extended demo for Battlefield Frontline, which is like the cops and robbers version of Battlefield.
Field,
and it's actually, it's not that. I'll play it for a 10-hour demo. Let's call it that.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was like you had to actually pay for the demo. It was like $6, but you got like a 10-hour demo of the game.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay.
It's a pretty big demo.
Well, yeah.
I play games that are shorter than that.
Probably, right. But I played the multiplayer stuff, and it's basically Battlefield with cops and robbers, so it doesn't really make sense, but there's this one mode which is, I could basically only describe as like Fast and Furious, where it's like, what you do is your bases are cars, so you have to get in a car and drive as fast as you can for as long as you can, and that's how you rack up points. But you can also, like, buddies can get in, and they're like hanging out the car and shit, and they're like shooting, and it's a lot of fun. So you probably don't give two shits.
That actually sounds pretty fucking cool.
It is fun. It's a really cool game. Like I said, $6 is good for a demo. $60, probably not gonna buy it.
Gotcha.
But I still have fun playing it. And I've actually been getting into board games a lot lately. There's this board game called Avalon, which is like, it's basically it's like good guys versus bad guys, except you don't know who the bad guys are. So it's like based on kind of clues and how you play the game, you have to deduce who the different characters are. Yeah, who's the bad guy? Who's like, and there's like special
characters.
I may have
played that before.
It's like there's Merlin is in it, Morgana's in it, Percival. So it's like all these classic. Like,
I think I have played that. I think
Camelot
my brother's played
type
that
characters.
Before.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. It's just really fucking loud, especially if you're playing with like 8 people. Everyone's arguing. I'm just like, shut the fuck up! It's like midnight. Shut up! And they're just like,
We should, when the Chew game comes out, we should play that and review it. And then there also is, I think they said, it's going to be a Hellboy game.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really?
So, yeah, some I'll stuff we may play. I think the Chew game, I think it's card-based and it's coming out in May. So maybe we'll try that out. Also.
Go ahead. I just feel like I've got more shit to talk about. Like, there's this Lego set that I picked up. It's like a $13 set. And it's the Senate Commandos, which is like 4 clone trooper types from the at some point in the Clone Wars. And like, I wasn't really like, I just kind of opened it to dick around with it. Like, I wasn't even planning on like reviewing it on my site or doing anything. But I was just doing it for fun. It's really fucking awesome. Like, what it's basically like, it's four minifigures, and then it's got this little construct which is like a Gatling gun. In Lego form that shoots Legos.
Oh, wow.
Right? And it's like, so what I want to do, it's only $13. I want to get like 4 of them and take the motor out of my helicarrier and just automate that shit. And just like connect them all, like figure out a way. I mean, I'm going to have to like buy pieces off online and like figure out a way to get all the gears and shit working properly.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do, it's going to be fucking awesome.
Nice.
Like, that's my project for. Who knows? But anyway, now we can continue.
Yeah, it's just news.
Oh, first bit of news. This is completely unrelated. I don't think it's on the list. Afterlife with Archie 8 is finally coming out.
And it's coming out under a different kind of imprint. They're making a horror imprint.
Yeah, Archie is going to have... They're going to take the two existing horror titles they have.
Yeah.
And group them under an Archie horror imprint.
Yeah.
That
Wait,
will
what be, are they under now? Just Archie?
Just Archie.
Just Archie. Okay.
And they will basically... So it'll be this horror imprint, and a third title will be joining them.
Yes.
It is unknown what the title is at this time. It is unknown even who the creative team is.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably hope that it's not Tsukasa, because he's got a lot on his plate, apparently.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
There are rumors it's Josie and the Pussycats.
That wouldn't support. That would. I'd be okay with that.
You know, I kind of want to see, like, now that they've done, like, the very serious horror, like the zombie horror and like the Cthulhu. However, the
hell. Well, that was in Afterlife with Archie. The Sabrina's like hardcore witch stuff.
Yeah. Witch stuff. But I mean, like, now I kind of want to see like a maybe more of like a adult. You know, I don't want to say grim and gritty, but like a grown up version of like Scooby Doo.
I would recommend watching Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
Okay.
Because it's a lot more darker.
Yeah.
I think Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, in my mind, is if you are going to reboot Scooby-Doo and make it darker, that's how you do it. You don't necessarily change the characters themselves, but you change the... It's similar to Afterlife with Archie. Or Afterlife with Archie doesn't change who any of the characters are, it just throws them into a very unfamiliar situation. And that's essentially what Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated does.
Oh, cool.
But Afterlife with Archie 8 and Sabrina 2, that's actually the worst part. Sabrina 1 came out and then we never saw 2.
Ooh,
right? Dude, how long ago did that book come out? Like,
God, it was like
October.
6 months ago?
Came out
like Yeah, I think it came out in Halloween. They wanted it for New York Comic Con for Halloween. And then, yeah, I think Sabrina 2 is finally going to drop in April.
Nice.
And then Afterlife with Archie 8 is finally going to drop in May. And it will be a Shining tribute. I read the preview pages, and it's basically got Archie.
Is it going to be like a standalone thing, or more?
Yeah, I think at this point in the series, it's kind of more standalone stuff.
See, I almost
basically
find
they
that...
did the first five that were kind of the escape from Riverdale.
Yeah,
and then they did the one shot with Sabrina, and then they did 7. What was 7?
Shit,
yeah. I need to reread it. It's been that long,
yeah.
but 7 was kind of a standalone, and now 8's going to kind of be a Shining tribute, like the preview pages. This isn't really a spoiler, but like the preview pages are Archie talking to somebody about what the twins did, the girl and the guy that you kind of saw being a little, the brother and sister being a little creepy earlier on in the series. Apparently the girl kills the guy. That might happen in issue 7, I'm not sure, but it's Archie talking about that with somebody.
Yeah.
And they're at a hotel that looks suspiciously like the Shining hotel, and it finally cuts to Archie at the bar, and he's talking to Jughead, who very clearly isn't alive.
Yeah.
And so it's all in his head, but our Jughead's just like, you want another one, Arch? And it's a root beer. And so I'm not a bashing fan of that book, so I'm really, really glad that it's finally coming back.
Yeah, nice. I hope, like, what you said, it's going to be more, like, standalone stuff. I still hope they continue that kind of, they're trying to survive. I mean, maybe they don't need to do that aspect, but...
They might not. I mean, I'm sure... I think with the Shining issue, it's going to be looking more at, like, what happens to life now.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know...
It's The Walking Dead with Archie. The Afterlife with Archie.
But a lot more horror-tinged.
Speaking of The Walking Dead,
stuff.
Dude, you saw the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
That show's fucking bananas. Like,
yeah.
I love that show.
And The Flash. We all saw The Flash.
Holy shit.
It's like double bananas.
Yeah.
The Flash is just... No show should be this good.
I know.
It's just, you don't see many shows that start so strong so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, even the good superhero shows now, like Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and shit like that.
They didn't find their footing until, like, the latter half of their first seasons,
yeah.
And Flash was, like, boom, right out the gate.
Fuck yeah, it is.
And next week is Trickster, so expect us to do a lot on The Flash next week. But yeah, so let's see. Speaking of movies, we'll stick with that.
Yeah, for real, I already need a cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm irritated.
We'll go through this as quick as we can.
So it looks like the speculation is becoming official, as the Russo brothers are reportedly set to direct Avengers Infinity War Parts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And it definitely looks like, sticking with the Avengers front, it looks like Marvel's planning to cast young when it comes to Spider-Man, which is something that was rumored earlier, as they're auditioning actors as young as 16.
And somebody name dropped that they were looking for Peter Parker.
Joe Quesada said Peter Parker was like the gateway to Spider-Man, which made people think that it was kind of a foregone conclusion. And for me, it was always going to be Peter.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any doubt about that. So
not that he's the money maker. It's just all it is, man.
The thing is, more people, like, you hear Peter Parker, or you hear Spider-Man, you think of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know, that's just...
like Batman and Superman. It's the same thing. But on the Age of Ultron front, the rumor, this is again a rumor, is that Marvel has cast Carol Danvers, but is keeping it top secret, according to Latino Review, and she will debut in Age of Ultron, possibly alongside Doctor Strange and Black Panther. There's also some potential news on the Captain Marvel standalone film. Excuse me. Kelly Sue DeConnick is apparently lobbying to write the script. Whether that'll go anywhere or not is anyone's guess. And people are saying, rumors again, this is just Latino Review or Bleeding Cool, I forget who, saying that Jim Starlin may be along in some sort of consulting role due to his relationship with Captain Marvel, which may imply some kind of spot for Marvel of some kind. So that's Jim Starlin's jam, basically.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. It would.
Yeah, also, I mean, Thanos is a jam, too, so maybe
I think
Thanos
it'd be
kind of
cool to do like a Green Lantern type thing where Marvel shows up, dies saving Carol, and passes along his powers.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
All right, so we've got Jack Houston, who played Richard Harrow in Boardwalk Empire. Did you guys ever watch the show?
Yeah, Boardwalk Empire's great.
Yeah, but he's the guy with the like the prosthetic face.
Yeah.
He's been cast as Eric Draven in the Crow reboot, which is going to begin filming in the next couple months.
He's the sixth or seventh person, I think, to be made on that role at this point. But I know Luke Evans was there at one point, but then he was finally like, dwarf the shit.
Yeah, and Bradley Cooper was in that shit.
For real, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've got a lot of casting news on the Preacher set, or Preacher front. Ruth Negga, who played Reyna on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., has been cast as Tulip. And her character description is volatile, action-packed, sexified force of nature. She's a capable, unrepentant criminal with a love of fashion and the ability to construct helicopter-downing bazookas out of coffee cans and corn shine, who's not afraid to steal, kill, or corn cob stab her way out of a bad situation. So.
Cool.
Yeah. And plus, I like Ruth Negga.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's an awesome actress. Ian Colletti from Rake has been cast as Eugene Root, a.k.a. Arsface. Or Assface, I'm not actually sure how to pronounce that.
Arsface, yes.
Well, some people have said that they don't pronounce the R, so it might just be Assface.
Well, yeah, but it's not...
it's a proper name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so he's Arsface, which is interesting because he was never actually named in the comics, but so they gave him the name Eugene in for the show. Mm-hmm. And his description is... he's stomach-churningly difficult to look at, but with a sweet and pure outlook on life. He's troubled by something terrible he's done in the past, something he fears might have turned God himself against him. So that's cool, I guess.
Pretty much who he is.
Yeah, that's who he is. I mean, it's...
that sounds like Misfits.
Joseph Gilgun from, I guess, a Misfits movie and Lockout. I don't know, he's an English actor. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I saw pictures of him when they announced this.
Yeah.
He's going to do a great job.
He's been cast as the Vampire Cassidy, and his character description is the most wild-ass, bestest bro you'd ever want to meet, who's up for anything and has opinions on everything, from religion to politics to pop culture to theories on why people are better able to tolerate the odor of their own flatulence.
So he's us.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay. Cool. All
right. And
Dominic Cooper, still rumored for Jesse Custer himself.
And he's young Howard Stark, if you're not sure who Dominic Cooper is.
Nice.
In shocking Ninja Turtles news. Oh, I read number 44.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Some fake-out bullshit happened that allowed me to sell my copy for $30 on eBay.
So, part of the problem, you asshole.
Thanks, Internet. Ninja Turtles 2 is also set to begin filming in New York next month, and no plot details have been revealed, and I don't even think they have a director.
Okay.
But I think Liebsman's coming back.
Okay. Well, still, it's not official. Bebop and Rocksteady have been confirmed to be in the movie.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. And I really like... I mean, I wouldn't say I really liked the first one, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was fun.
Okay.
It was not as bad as it probably could have been.
Yeah.
I will say that. There were moments that made me laugh. There were other moments that I was like, Like, it really, when you examined it, when you really start to think about the movie...
Oh, no, somebody else was going to take a ticket.
Yeah.
David Green of Earth to Echo was apparently reportedly in early talks to direct, so...
Gotcha. Well, I guess it can't be that early if the movie's fucking filming next
month. Next month, yeah. It's coming out next summer, so they got to get their shit together.
Yep. What were we talking about? I feel like we were talking about something.
Nah, Ninja Turtles. We were just going... We were talking about... Okay. I'm going to talk about Ninja Turtles a second. Anybody that bought into the bullshit, he's not fucking dead.
Yeah. No.
It's not even a spoiler.
Donatello's not dead.
He's not dead.
We know this because he's one of the goddamn Ninja Turtles. There's four of them. And there'll always be four of them. It's fucking comic books,
but
people.
What if they fuck bring out Venus de Milo in that?
Fuck you.
What the fuck?
Never bring that up. Ever.
She's part of the...
No. Hey. She's not.
Hey.
Nope. Is it...
Slash.
Hey.
Take over.
Hey. No. This is...
No.
She's purple, too.
She was blue, motherfucker.
Yes.
Yeah, not in what I saw.
You are colorblind,
honestly.
We're settling this now.
Are you actually looking up Venus de Milo?
Yeah, because I'm going to prove you wrong.
I swear to God I saw her as a purple mask.
Blue.
Blue.
Blue. You're an idiot.
She can wear purple. It's cool.
Fuck you! What now you're changing the canon!
Oh god, no, it's not canon. Please don't.
No, it's not canon. Anyway,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation.
DC put out their solicits for June, which unveiled a good chunk of their new series. We've gone through most of these already, I think. So, I don't think we need to go through and name every single one again. Yeah. But the big ones for me are still...
Did we do this?
Yeah.
We did do this.
Constantine the Hellblazer is still a big standout with Ming Doyle and Riley Rossmo.
Yes.
Justice League of America number one by Brian Hitch. I'm going to check that out. And then we've got new creative teams. Colin Bunn taking over Aquaman. Ben Percy taking over Green Arrow. And Gene Lung Yang, my favorite, on Superman.
You should at least read the artists that are taking over with them. Give some credit where it's due.
Colin Bunn is taking over Aquaman with Trevor McCarthy of Batwoman fame. Juan Ferreira is on Gotham After Midnight, starting with number 6, taking over for
Ben Templesmith.
Ben Templesmith, who will start working, I assume, on Dagon after this.
Yep.
Ben Percy is joining with Patrick Zercher on Green Arrow.
Who's Ben Percy? Do we know?
No.
I like Patrick Zercher.
Yeah.
And Gene Lung Yang will be continuing Superman with John Romita Jr.
Cool.
But it was making it definitely seem that things are that there's definitely another issue of Superman that's supposed to come out.
I think there is.
Oh, yes. This is the one that's going to be written and drawn by John Romita Jr. My bad.
Oh.
I was curious. I did not like how they wrapped up that mysterious figure arc in Superman 39. I don't know if you read it.
I haven't read it yet.
You know that dude that was kind of watching in the shadows on the big screens, everything that was going on? I don't like what they do with that.
Okay.
Just on a completely unrelated side note. But no, so we don't really need to go through all the DC series. When some of them come out, we'll probably talk about them here. Yeah. But yeah, some cool stuff coming. Moving over to Marvel now.
Marvel's given us a glimpse of the all-new, all-different Avengers, which is set to launch after Secret Wars. And what they did is they showed the cover of their Free Comic Book Day issue with most of the Avengers in silhouette. There's 7 people on the team. They showed off Thor and Miss Marvel.
Female Thor.
Well, still Thor.
Yeah.
And Miss Marvel. So there's 5 people in silhouette. We're thinking it definitely looks like it's Captain Falcon.
Captain Falcon in the middle. He's got the wings in the circle on his arm. It's
looks
very
like Nova.
Looks screen. Like Nova down in the lower right.
We're thinking that's not Iron Man. It's probably
War Machine.
Iron Patriot or War Machine.
On the left. And then...
Looks, to me, they look like a Spider-Man.
In the middle.
Might be
Spider-Man looks in the is in the middle. I actually really think like that pose, that particular pose he's in, seems to be really popular with Miles Morales.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be Ultimate Spider-Man. It's
me
not going to be Peter Parker.
And then up to the other right, there was some, you know, you said Vision. Others just said Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I think it's Vision.
I wouldn't be surprised if Doctor Strange, though, they're going to be raising his profile with the movie coming up.
True, but it's not really all new, all different if he's still an Avenger, even if he's a new Avenger. But then I guess Thor and Captain Falcon are Avengers as well.
So yeah, so
we'll see.
So we'll see, but it definitely looks Marvel's building something up there. All we'll right, see.
So this news actually broke like the day after we podcasted last week, and it's Marvel has officially announced that 33 titles will be coming to an end with the beginning, with the arrival of Secret Wars. It's not the beginning. In what they're calling a 616 finale. But rather than having everything end cleanly in April, Marvel is allowing the creators to somewhat end the series on their own terms, allowing them to either tell a Last Days story or a Secret Wars story. So I'm not sure if... I think Last Days is supposed to be dealing with Battleworld happening.
Yeah, like the the impact of the formation of Battleworld on the Marvel Universe.
Whereas Secret Wars is, I guess, in Battleworld itself. So here's a list of all the titles, and some of these are going to be returning in some form, so like they're ending, but they might...
All New Captain America is ending.
Yeah.
But will be continued in the Secret Wars series Hail Hydra.
Well, it's also going to continue after that. In some form after Secret Wars.
Yeah, of course, because it's Captain America.
So we've got, alright, All New Captain America. Now remember, these are coming to an end. All New Captain America, All New Ghost Rider, All New X-Men, Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing X-Men, Angela Asgard's Assassin, Avengers, Avengers World, Captain Marvel, Cyclops, Deadpool, Elektra, Fantastic Four, Guardians 300, Guardians 3000, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hulk, Inhuman, Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, Legendary Star-Lord, Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, New Avengers, Nightcrawler, Nova, Rocket Raccoon, Secret Avengers, Spider-Man and the X-Men, Spider-Man 2099, Storm, Superior Iron Man, Thor, Uncanny X-Men, Wolverines, and Adjectiveless X-Men.
So
should I run through that again?
Basically
did we get that
everything.
All? Yeah, so it's like everything.
Do not run through it again.
Now, I was bored at work today, so I counted. I believe, including Secret Wars Battleworld, and Battleworld Journal, or Secret Wars Journal, there's going to be, like, 42 new books debuting between...
As part of Secret Wars.
Secret Wars between May and July. And I'm assuming there's probably going to be some August titles. So we've got some more July books...
But it is important to note, a lot of these books are getting what I would call, like I said, a Secret Wars analog.
Yeah, like Amazing Spider-Man is now Amazing
Spider-Man. Renew Your Vows.
Yeah.
All New Captain America. Is going into Hail Hydra, and like Guardians is going into Korvac Saga.
And well, Korvac Saga, and then there's Guardians of Nowhere. I think the titles are.
A lot of this stuff, the creators, a lot of the creators are sliding over to a Secret Wars book featuring similar characters.
Yeah.
So a lot of this stuff is going away, but it's gonna continue, sort of.
Yeah.
If your book is getting canceled.
There's something.
There's
for you.
Like Captain Marvel's getting canceled. We're getting the Carol Corps, stuff like that.
All right, so
and not to be outdone, Marvel's got more Secret Wars series.
As of today, they've got four new titles to add.
Is March 24th.
Yeah, they all come out in July, and they're all under the Warzone's banner. So we've got Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders, written by Al Ewing and drawn by Alan Davis. It's going to be a 2-issue miniseries, which is interesting because most books are either 5-issue.
No trades for 2 issues.
Yeah, they're either 5-issue series or an ongoing. But it sees it. I think this is ending. This is taking over for Mighty Avengers.
I would say so. Yes,
yeah,
Captain America
and
the
sees
Mighty Avengers.
Former Captain Britain and the MI-13 star. Faiza Hussein, reclaimed the mantle of Captain Britain, which she previously held during Age of Ultron. Her team includes She-Hulk, White Tiger, Kid Rescue, and Hobby Brown. And these defenders will fight to keep the peace on one Battleworld domain, or as one Battleworld domain forcibly annexes another. And I'm not sure if they said what those domains are, but there you go. You're an X-Men guy. You do the next one, Age of Apocalypse.
Sweet. By Fabian Aceza and Gerardo Sandoval. Gerardo Sandoval. That features a world where Professor X's death allowed Apocalypse to take over the world, leaving Magneto to lead the X-Men against him. This is an alternate version of the AOA universe where all the major characters are still alive. So it won't be continuing from Remender's little spinoff.
Yeah, and it also won't be continuing from the original series.
Yeah. So
in that same vein, the Civil War series, which is coming, which was teased quite some time ago,
yeah,
is going to be written by Charles Soule and drawn by Lionel Yu, which is probably the strongest of any creative team on any Secret Wars
book. Yeah.
That will be coming in July 2015 under the Warzone's banner. But it is basically going to be, as it sounds, almost a retelling of Civil War, not a continuation slash prequel slash whatever. Apparently, it will be a straight-up alternate take on the original, with the idea being to take some of the events of the original and spin them off into new stories. While this is a Secret Wars tie-in, the project is aimed at newcomers interested in the Civil War concept due to the upcoming Civil War film, which begins filming next month.
Yeah. Which, I read a part of an interview with Charles Soule, and he basically said that the idea is there were a lot of cool things that came out of the original Civil War miniseries,
mm-hmm.
but basically he kind of had his own questions, like how are other things affected? So it's like his take on what happened. So I'm not sure. Plus, it's also probably a good time to maybe update a little so that the Avengers and shit look closer to like the movie universe. You know.
Hopefully, the ending's better. That's really all I ask.
Yeah. I like what happened at the end of Civil War. Like what came after Civil War. Like
the ending itself just really came off as really fucking contrived to me.
Oh, word.
Or just Cap was like, "Oh no, I've made a huge mistake. Arrest me."
Yeah.
I was like, "That's it."
What? It's like what? It's like he came up with a cool idea, but didn't know how to resolve it.
That's Mark Miller's career.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like he like looked around and realized this just wasn't gonna stop. And like, you know, all the fighting.
But shit, he's Captain America. He should have known that from the start. Then, like,
yeah.
Like you realize that halfway in. You don't realize that at the end during the final battle where you have it won. Like,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, another one coming. This is like I mentioned, Hail Hydra is going to be a new one. This is Rick Remender and Roland Bashi, who I believe did the recent Winter Soldier series.
The Bitter March, not the most recent, but the last.
So this is going to take place in a battle world domain where Hydra has ruled America for centuries, pitting Nomad, Ian Zola, also from Remender's Captain America run, our fish out of water protagonist, against Hydra-ized versions of Venom and the Avengers. Seems to focus on an MCU-esque version of Hydra, where they have integrated themselves into the American system and took over the country hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, so it's like, I think they mentioned going back to like the Revolutionary War. So it's a little more than like the MCU where they took over at the end of World War II.
Yeah, kind of.
It's still kind of neat.
Yeah. And so these ones actually, I think, sound like at least Civil War and Hail Hydra sound like some of the stronger tie-ins to me, honestly, far as the creative team involved and all that.
Dusty's smiling. Why are you smiling?
Nothing.
Why?
You just say nothing.
Speak.
No. It's okay. I give it back up. I don't know. No, it's alright. Move on.
What's your problem, man?
What the fuck just happened? Like, yeah.
I don't know what happened either, man. That was just creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do. I'm like the Charles Soule Lino Yu Civil War does interest me because I really do like both of their work.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra looks interesting too. I'm a big fan of alternate history, so
continue that just because I'm currently reading.
Remender's
like cap. I want to see how much of an like if this is going to be kind of like everything's like completely fucking different, or it's going to be closer to the beginning of the New 52, where some titles are like wildly different, but other titles like Batman and Green Lantern just kind of continued on.
Yeah.
So I would feel like Hail Hydra is probably going to continue on, maybe in the same, not the same exact storyline, but in the same.
It should be like Masterman.
Yeah.
Where it's the entire different world ruled by Nazis.
That could be cool too. I'm just saying that I feel like there's some titles are going to be like Renew Your Vows are probably just going to be like.
Well, like this says Hydra's ruled America for centuries. I can't imagine it's all going to be the same.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends how they do it. Like if they do it like the MCU, like I postulated, then it could just be like.
But Hydra had just infiltrated. They weren't running the government.
No, I think it's going to be more like. I mean, Hydra runs everything. The Avengers like work for Hydra. You know, it's not.
I find it interesting that they pointed out it's going to be like Venom and the Avengers. It's like, why target Venom? That's kind of weird.
Who knows?
But it could Remender be interesting. Did, no,
could
he
be
didn't.
Green.
Yeah, Remender wrote Venom for a while, right? Didn't
Holland
take over? Yeah, so. Cool.
Who took over?
Colin Bunn.
Oh, yeah. That Remender Venom was good stuff.
It was.
Did you read the Colin Bunn issue of Moon Knight?
Not yet.
The one-shot? Or the first, right. Or is he doing a five-part?
He's doing five-part.
Right. And he's everywhere now.
Five issues, at least.
Colin Bunn's everywhere. Is it DC?
Yeah.
Marvel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got, and he's got his
own Hellbreak shit. Just came out too. It's really good.
He's got Hellbreak. He's got Six Gun. He's got Sinestro. He's got Aquaman. He will have Green Lantern, The Lost Army, and Aquaman. He will have yeah, and then have all his Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. Fuck, good
for
him.
Marvel stuff. Yeah. What's he doing right now?
Well, he was doing
Magneto.
Yeah, for
sure. That's on the last day, so that's probably.
Yeah. Is he doing any of the Secret War stuff?
I think only Magneto. Honestly.
I mean, like, as far as any of the miniseries, he's doing none of those. Maybe he's phasing himself out of Marvel.
It kind of seems like it.
Probably.
Well, he's doing Moon Knight for a little
bit. Yeah, he's doing Moon Knight.
Oh, he's doing the Secret Wars of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing
it. It is all that Deadpool shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's around.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Went nowhere.
He did. I don't know why you had to grab your dick when you did that.
It was scratching.
That's gross.
Look, it's like, what we see that episode of Third Rock from the Sun last week where it's like, you do it outside the pants, it's manly, you do it inside the pants, it's too manly?
Yes.
Just manly.
Just sounds about right. But yeah, so Secret Wars is still massively bloated. It's going on, and it won't fucking stop.
I don't really feel like it's bloated. Like, there's a lot of stuff coming out, but they're also canceling a lot of titles, and it's...
It's like, more like Age of Apocalypse was with the X-Men, where all the X-Men books were canceled and they were replaced.
I think they're cool. To be honest with you, there's a lot of stuff there. It's like, let's try something different here. You know, it's like, we're just going to put all these weird little things. It's like...
I like this better when it was called Flashpoint.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same
thing. Much better. I mean, well, it's so much
better. You have no idea how much better it's going to be.
Better. I mean, it's like more encompassing. You know, because Flashpoint was just... You had your Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman spinoffs, you know?
Yeah, they were spinoffs. They weren't necessarily like Batman continued, Wonder Woman continued, you know.
Exactly.
No, I didn't.
Didn't they?
No.
Yeah, Flashpoint? Yeah.
Because the Flashpoint miniseries all had their own stories.
That's my point.
What do you mean?
That it's not like these series are actually... It's not... They're not... like the Flashpoint Batman wasn't Batman ending and then leading into Flashpoint Batman.
You know, no, it's an alternate Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but this is like...
Well, that's not... Universe. All of these aren't going to be lead-ins directly from ongoing series. Some of them are their own standalone series,
but
too.
But what I'm saying is that...
But it's like the whole company-wide thing. It's not just like a few main characters get their little spin-offs. You know, it's like...
But everybody had Flashpoint spin-offs. There were like 20 or 30 Flashpoint spinoffs.
Isn't there like a whole omnibus of Flashpoint spinoffs?
No, but there's a shit ton of Flashpoint spinoffs. There was Hal Jordan, there was Barry Allen, there was Superman, there was Wonder Woman, there was Aquaman, there was Batman.
I think what he's saying...
There was Abin Sur, there was Green Arrow, there was everybody.
I think what Dusty's saying is that, like, Batman didn't stop for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then became Flashpoint Batman, and then became Batman again. It was Batman continued up until... the last issue, and then it started over.
Yeah, and like, you didn't have to read them type thing. It's like, this is Marvel going, hey, you can't
read everything
else. If you want
to
read something, here are our options.
It has to be a Secret Wars book.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, kind of shitty, if you ask me.
It's different.
Yeah,
you know?
It's different, and it's...
There's something for everybody.
You know that book you like?
Brave New World?
Too fucking bad.
Yeah. But it is, and it is like Flashpoint in the sense that it is changing everything, you know.
Supposedly.
Like, supposedly changing everything, you know.
I mean, right now we're just
it's all speculation.
Like, speculating, yeah.
It's all whatever.
Think, like Dusty said, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. And I mean, like, I'm not interested in everything. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I'm interested in half of everything.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see why people would be, because there's a lot of cool ideas
It's kind of funny
but
to me that
have
Marvel
you figured
and DC
out
doing the exact same thing at the same time. They always have a tendency to do this. With Convergence, they're doing the same thing. They're canceling pretty much everything else and going, hey,
it seems bigger because Marvel's announcing a new fucking title like every five new titles.
Well, the difference between Convergence and Secret Wars is very simple. Convergence is not meant to rewrite the DC universe.
Yeah.
Secret Wars is supposedly... Secret Wars, to me, is more analogous to Flashpoint than it is Convergence.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Because Convergence has been planned for a long time to cover that move from East Coast to West Coast for DC.
Well, hell, even Secret Wars, like the original miniseries, it wasn't like there was the Secret Wars maxi series. I mean, but it didn't end everything. Like, if I remember, the black costume was in. It wasn't. Didn't it show up before it did in Secret Wars?
No, Secret Wars is where it shows up for the first time. Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And then it's Spider-Man where they actually explained what it was.
It showed up somewhere before it was over. That didn't happen, right? Because there was Web Slinger, Web of Spider-Man number one, I think.
Well, he got it in Secret Wars, and then it starts showing up other places before the
Secret Wars ends, and he brings it back.
No, I know, but I'm saying it appeared before Secret Wars ended in other Marvel books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Okay. Right. I don't know. I'd have to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure it did.
It was like a month period, you know?
Whatever.
So it was like, it came out, and then in like issue 7.
I thought it was a good one.
No.
Well, I know there's a lot of comparisons, especially because Secret Wars involves a multiverse, as does Convergence. Convergence involves the multiverse colliding, basically.
Yeah.
So it's very, and the thing is I don't think it's either company being like, yeah, let's rip those fuckers off. Like, yeah. I don't think it is. Now, I do believe that there have been instances where companies have done that, but this isn't really it, as far as I'm concerned. I think DC was just like, all right,
well,
let's
do it.
Well,
it was funny to me because, you look at Batman and Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
They both died right at pretty much the same time.
Came back.
And then ended up not really dying, but rather getting stuck in time.
Not only that, but I think they both got shot by time bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did both get shot by time bullets, and they both had to get saved. And it's like, granted, each one played out differently, and they were in no way the same story. But it was just like they happened at the exact same time, you know. It was just like,
well, for me, like for me, that was like
that shit. It just happened.
Yeah.
You know? Oh yeah. Like because Grant Morrison plans all his shit from the start. Like he knew from day one he was going to kill Batman, and then that he would ultimately bring Batman back.
And Brubaker did not know, so this may have actually been at like.
Oh yeah, because Brubaker. Brubaker was Cap dying was a big part of the coming out of Civil War.
Yeah.
But he was not supposed to stay dead as long as he did.
He was supposed to be a few issues.
Like he was gonna die in 25 and then be back like by 30.
But
like,
Bucky was just so popular that they were like,
that they delayed it and it was good. But yeah, he was not meant to last as long as it did, which just shows to me that Marvel and the thing is Captain America Reborn came out the same month that Black Knight started.
Yeah.
And actually beat Blackest Night for that first month. But then Blackest Night came back and stomped Marvel down for the next 6 months. But it is interesting how that tends to happen, where the stories
didn't line up. Jason Todd and Bucky come back the same week? I think that happened, right? Like, they came back to life in the comics in, like, the same week, or the same month.
Because he comes back during Brubaker's first arc of Cap, and then Jason Todd comes back during Hush. Well, we thought he came back during Hush. No, Hush takes place before that. Because Hush is 2002, isn't it?
Yeah, but Hush was more of a fake-out, because that was...
But it was still Jason Todd showing up. Like, I know it was revealed later that it was actually Clayface, but... I don't know, that's an interesting question. But it might have been the Red Hood stuff with Judd Winnick then, where it came back for real.
I think it was.
Yeah, that might have been the same time, yeah. Because I think Brubaker had just left Batman at that point to go play Captain America.
It was Winnick.
Yeah.
No, it was Winnick.
That's one of Winnick's only good things, is under the Red Hood. So plenty of cool shit coming. But like you said, I mean, with both Convergence and Secret Wars, there's a little something for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Like the Planet Hulk, where it's like Gladiator Steve Rogers
riding a dinosaur in the Savage Land.
Yeah, that's nice.
If you don't think that shit's awesome, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I think of the May books, there were five of them that I chose, and I can't remember which one. I know Planet Hulk was one of them. Secret Wars, of course. I want to say Spider-Verse. I'm not 100%. And there's like a couple other titles. I don't even remember what they are. But yeah, so which just shows, I mean, 18 books are coming out. I picked 5. You have to buy them all.
You don't. And if anybody tells you you do, they're a liar. Anyway.
A jerk, yes.
We're going to end up wrapping our show up a little bit early this week. Well, maybe. We're going to do our picks of the week. Then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I'll go first, since I have only 3 books.
I also only have 3 books.
But I'm still going first. You do, because you're Dusty, and you have a absolutely insane amount of stuff that just terrifies us every single week. Week in, week out. First up on my books is the latest issue of Chew, number 47. This is the latest issue of Chew that is the next installment of their current arc. And we're kind of on the road to the end of Chew. There's only a couple of more. We only got about... It's 60 is the end, so we're getting into the twilight of the series. And Chew is just a great book. I've been a huge fan of it ever since I read it for the first time. And if you haven't, I mean, definitely don't jump in now. But it's a great book, and issue 47 is kind of being touted as Trash Pail Pollo, Rubbish Rooster. Kind of a takeoff on all the Warrior Chicken Pollo one-shots and stuff that they've done. But I don't think it's an actual one-shot.
It's like Garbage Pail Kids.
Well, no. I mean, like, this is another Pollo-centric issue.
I know, but it looks, I mean...
Oh, yeah, but it looks like the Garbage Pail Kids. Totally. That's the whole point. It looks like Garbage Pail Kids. Yeah, it does. And, Trash Pail Pollo, Rubbish Rooster. But yeah, so that's coming out. Like I said, I love Chew. It's a great book. And, like I said, we're getting towards the end, so check it out. And if you've been enjoying the series, I see no reason why you wouldn't enjoy this. Next is Rumble number 4. I believe I shared this with Dusty.
Yeah, I am.
I got caught up on this series, and it's just insane, this kind of story that's unfolding, where this kind of warrior god is struck down and brought back as a scarecrow. Right. With a giant fucking sword. At least I think I understood that properly.
Yeah.
That book's weird as fuck, too. And then speaking of weird as fuck, we have Multiversity Ultra Comics number 1. This is the latest, but not last, Multiversity issue. I do believe it is the last Multiversity one-shot. I believe this is the last of the universe-centric stories that will focus on the Ultra universe, quote-unquote. Throughout Multiversity... like I said, I was talking earlier about the idea of a villain that only exists when you read about him. The book that kind of was always at the center of this was this Ultra Comics 1.
Yeah, okay.
And like in Multiversity 1 and 2 and 3 and even Pax Americana, not Multiversity 1, 2, and 3, but like Secret Society of Superheroes, Pax Americana, even the later ones, they all kind of feature these exact comics showing up in the alternate universes, kind of telling stories of this impending doom. And so the Ultra Comics number 1 is kind of the latest that apparently the reader is apparently a character. So it's typical Grant Morrison wackiness, insanity, and if you've enjoyed Multiversity thus far, I think it'll be great. And then I think Multiversity 2 will conclude the series next month, I think. And yeah, that's it for me. Three books.
All right, so I'm up next. First, I've got Batman and Robin number 40, which has got our punk-ass Super Damian
teaming up with Justice League. I also second this book, because fuck yes.
Yeah, because fuck yes. Darth Vader number 3, where looks like Vader's seeking out some fucking hot bounty hunter chick to help him find guns. I don't know. I love the book. The book's good. I'm not sure what the synopsis is all about, but...
So whatever.
Cool. Yeah. And then New Avengers number 32, which looks like we've got Owen's son coming to Colin to maybe bust some ass, probably. Take some names.
Hopefully he's got his axe with him.
He does.
Awesome.
He's the Owen's son.
Fucking awesome.
Nice. Yeah. And Dusty, we're up.
Alright. Make this short and sweet. Big Hard Sex Criminals. They've got the giant trade coming out, a little giant hardcover coming out, and this book is fucking amazing. So if you haven't read it, now you have no excuse to not just go out and buy the first, what is it, 12 issues?
12? 10?
10 issues?
Like
10 issues. Yeah, I think it's 10 issues. Either way.
Big Hard Sex Criminals?
Yeah.
It's 10 issues. It's the first two trades.
Nice. Next one, Gotham by Midnight. This is Temple Smith's last issue before he leaves the book, and it's been good so far. Invincible, number 118. They're doing really good things in this comic book right now. Like, it's fucking cool.
I'm a little annoyed at kind of how underrated Invincible really is in the grand scheme of things.
Seriously.
I've probably said that before. I'm sure I have. But, you know, Kirkman always gets attention for Walking Dead or even Outcast or what have you.
Well, everything. Astounding Wolfman.
I fucking love that comic.
What's the book about the thief, right?
Thief of Thieves.
He only did the first arc. And then,
but still, Diggle co-wrote the first arc with
him. Yeah, true.
And then the co-writers were supposed to kind of switch.
Yeah.
But
Outcast has been really good.
But yeah, but just Invincible always, for me, just kind of never really, I feel, got the attention it deserved.
I know, and they keep doing all these spinoffs. Like, they had Invincible Universe for, like, a little while.
That one away. Right.
They had...
Guarding the Globe, Guardians of the Globe.
They had Britt, got his own series for a while.
Did Adam have a book for a bit?
Adam and Eve
had a special, like a little one shot.
Yeah, so Invincible's been really, really good. I've kind of been, I said, if you've never checked it out before, I recommend the compendiums.
Yes.
The first two collect the first, 96 issues of the series.
Yeah.
Much like The Walking Dead, I mean, go with the compendiums. Mm-hmm. It's the way to go.
Next, what the fuck? Life After Number 8.
I didn't want to say anything.
So this comic's actually really damn interesting. It's like the Son of God and fucking Ernest Hemingway in heaven, or not heaven, it's the one with a P.
Purgatory. the one with a P. That might be our episode tagline, actually.
But yeah, so they're in purgatory, and basically, like, he doesn't know he's the Son of God, but he realizes that, hey, there's, like, really all this unfair shit happening to all these people, you know? And he doesn't like it. So he starts fixing it, but he doesn't realize, like, how he's doing it. He's just like, well, I forgive you. And then this lady's like, he's like, it's gonna be okay. And then she's like, really? And then vanishes, and because she just got accepted into heaven, because she forgave herself.
She's not in the place with the P place. Anymore.
Yeah, she's no longer in purgatory. But they end up, like, they go and arrest, they take her out of heaven because she's not supposed to be there, and, like, lock her up, and then they send this demon to, like, hunt down, to go kill God's son. God being, yeah, I don't even want to tell you, like, really, because it's fucking awesome.
If I couldn't talk about Annihilator, you can't talk about this.
Exactly, yeah. God is awesome in this comic. That's all I gotta say. But it's really interesting.
If only he were that awesome in real life.
I know.
It's too bad.
Okay, and then October Faction, number 5. A new one from Steve Niles and Damian Worm. This guy has to do some really good horror stuff. If you're a fan of horror, you should check out the series. And we've got Pastaways, number 1. A new one from Matt Kent and Scott Collins. I'm a huge fan of both of these guys, and that's all I needed to know to pick up this comic. So... and then we've got Suiciders, number 2, from Lee Romero. This comic is fucking off the wall. So, that's pretty awesome. Colors from Matt Hollingsworth. He's fucking amazing. So, speaking of him, he's also coloring Witches, number 5, which is my last pick. So,
Witches has been insane. So.
Witches has been, batshit insane. Really interesting. Really anxious to see where this first arc leads us.
Yeah.
You know?
And Pastaways is the new one from, like you said, Matt Kent, Scott Collins, and you will get to meet some of them.
I will get to meet both
this weekend at Emerald City Comic Con.
Yes, I will.
Are those the Cloud guys or no?
What?
Cloud?
Matt Kent. What?
Mind.
No. That was Eisma and Layman.
Yeah. Oh. That's John Layman. Yes.
They could be the Cloud
guys. God, amateur.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Cloud guys. You talking about that guy from Mario?
Cloud. The
fishing rod?
Right.
But yeah, so a lot of cool comics coming out this week. You know, Dusty was even making it seem, there's not a whole lot I'm buying this week. Bullshit.
Especially
say that every week.
I also want to read those books you guys are reading. You guys.
But so... excuse me. Dusty will be leaving us to go to Emerald City Comic Con this weekend.
Yes, I leave Thursday, and I come back next Monday.
She'll be back just in time to talk to us about this on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
I'm even tasking him with getting me a few things. So, yeah.
That's understandable.
I as well.
I need monies. That's all I gotta say.
Fuck!
Damn you, I say!
Part of the deal, Dusty.
But yeah, it's been pretty great week for comics. Less controversy, good comics, some interesting news.
Yeah.
And definitely a nice break from our endless rage of last week. Well, Dusty and I's endless rage. Vince was kind of passed out there.
I'm not going to say I didn't fall asleep, because I probably did. Dude, it was like 2 in the morning.
I wasn't paying attention if you were asleep, man. So, yeah, we got to get better at this. But anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week, we will be back. Are there any Kickstarters going on that we want to throw out props to? Doc Unknown is still ongoing.
Doc Unknown is still ongoing. Greg Pack currently has a Kickstarter.
Let me pull that up real quick. We'll highlight a few here.
What's the name? Help Wanted got...
Help Wanted by our friend Isaiah and David Furr was successfully funded. For the title is moving forward. They sent out the surveys today. As far as what I have ongoing, Doc Unknown is going on until April 1st, so you've got about another week to get in on that one.
Get in while the getting's good, people.
Exactly. Greg Pox is called The Princess Who Saved Herself. It is a story that sounds...
It is based off of a Jonathan Coulton song.
Yes, it is.
This is the second book based off of Coulton's work.
Yes, it is Greg Pak and Takeshi Miyazawa, who I think did
Runaways.
Runaways. Yes. Some of Runaways.
Some of Runaways.
Yes,
that's the later really good shit of Runaways.
Also did, I think, a graphic novel with somebody. I think it was Michael Oeming, maybe. I don't remember. But, yeah, and so that one's pretty great. $12 gets you a PDF copy of the book, plus a MP3 of the song.
Yeah.
And it's well past its goal. I mean, it won at 15 grand, and they're almost at 100 grand. Mm-hmm. So, pretty awesome. And then, if you're interested in such things, Fresh Romance. It's going to be an ongoing romance comics anthology magazine, headed up by Comics Alliance editor Janelle Aslin. And this one is another one where $15 will get you a 3-month subscription to the first 3 issues digitally. And there's a lot more great stuff in there, but it's going to be an anthology of kind of bringing back romance comics. Which
are they going to be Comixology or just like PDFs or what?
I think it's... doesn't say. So I have no idea. But I know Princess Who Saved Herself is PDF. This one just says the first 3 issues. You will get them in some form. And yeah, those are the big ones that we know of. So Doc Unknown, definitely get in while the getting's good. Still plenty of cool shit out there to get. And yeah, anything else, guys?
I think that's about it.
I may be starting a satire website soon. We'll keep you posted on that too.
Keep going to regularbricks.com.
Regularbricks.com.
Legos. Woo!
For Legos. And naturally, as always, if you have questions or comments or anything, email us at godhatescomics@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at godhatescomics. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/godhatescomics. Also, for more information on BetaCon.
Yes.
Yes. Of course. I can't believe we're going to talk about BetaCon.
Talk about BetaCon.
Can't wait to meet James
BetaCon. I can't either. I can't wait to meet that dude, Ted Cruz. He's going
to
be there.
I can't wait to go on the moon jump on the moon.
The moon jump on the moon is going to be insane. Okay, you might fly into space.
Yeah.
So if you want more information about BetaCon, you just go to Facebook and type in BetaCon, and you'll see BetaCon 2015. So, it's simple as that. And look, they got, you know, Bob Kane, Sir Monty Python, you know, Al Gore and the Al Gore Rhythms are going to be playing music. We've got Edgelord, Ryan Gosling, Chris Pratt, twice, 2 Chris Pratts.
Wow.
And it's absolutely awesome.
This is absolutely not a scam.
And absolutely not a scam.
Of course.
It's the most legit
Nothing
con.
Nothing this awesome could be a scam.
It's, I think it's like only 1,000 Doge coins.
I don't even know. It's Doge coins, man. You got to say coins. It right.
You know it's Doge?
Yeah. Doge coins.
It's like doggy.
Doggy coins.
For only 1,000 Doge coins.
Doggy.
And not only that, Doge coins is the only currency they accept. So if you don't have Doge coins, you need to get some.
See, that's my problem with the con, is that I'm hoarding my Doge coins because I know they're going to be worth a lot more in the future. I'm not sure if I'm going to waste it on BetaCon.
Look, man, you gotta look at this.
This is not a waste.
You look at the value.
This is not a waste.
Sacrifices must be made. I understand. like waste. Doge.
It's not a waste. It's not a
But look, man.
Such money.
For 100,000 Doge coins, you get a VIP pass and you sit in the front of all the panels if you get there first.
If you get there. Well, what the fuck?
If you get there first.
You gotta get there first.
Well, I mean, I'm obviously fast on my feet. Yes. I'm fleet-footed.
And also, exhibitors.
Exhibitors. Able to just jump from the last row to the first row. Really,
10 million Doge coins gets an exhibitor a table at the show, which, quite frankly, is a steal.
It is.
10
million Doge coins.
And just remember, guys, absolutely not a scam.
You will make at least 5 times that if you're an exhibitor there.
I mean, they're expecting 100,000 people.
No,
and the moon could easily hold 3 times that. Yeah. So
Easily.
I mean, we're looking at pretty much the cream of the crop here, guys. Mm-hmm. This is the Macho Man of conventions.
It is.
Oh, God.
It's the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Comparatively speaking, all other conventions are garbage.
Ooh, yeah.
So, yeah, guys. so ridiculous. But anyway, guys, thank you for joining us this week.
Cream of the crop.
I am the cream of the crop. And I believe the spotlight should be on top of me. You see what I'm reading here, Mean Gene? This is yesterday's news. We just saw Kogan and Tito Santana all rolled into one. That's a real thing he said. He literally was reading a newspaper and then ripped it up. The Macho Man is the greatest of all time. And he's going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. I will also be watching WrestleMania this weekend and trying not to be massively disappointed.
Shit.
If you want to come over and watch it, we'll be here.
I might.
It's going to be me, Felipe.
Wait, it's on Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday night.
It's Walking Dead. Sorry.
You're a lame man. You'll be there when you get back.
Yeah, but so will WrestleMania. WrestleMania.
You don't have
Let's
the WWE
end this thing.
Network.
Let's go.
WrestleMania. Alright, guys. Thanks for joining us. We will be back with you next week. And, thanks for joining us. I'm Andrew, as always.
I'm Dusty, because I want to be.
And I'm Vince, because Dusty said so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line.